Movies. We watch movies. You listen to us talk about movies that we watched without you.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. Now this is podcasting.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Films Cast 64. Adam, I have a movie to pitch you.
Go for it.
So you know what's hot right now, right? What's hot right now?
The meatball sub.
No, I think the meatball sub has always been in, though.
Oh, yeah?
Though okay. I have a story about a meatball sub.
I just found out about meatball subs.
Well, they're pretty good, Adam. But I went to go see Point Break for the Bad Radio movie night. You remember when we went to movies?
That must have been a year and a half ago.
It was a while ago. And I get there. I'm sitting right next to Julie. I'm sitting in between Julie Dobbs and David Mino. Okay?
Popcorn trick.
With who?
Yeah, you're knocking the hand, Julie's hand away. And you're saying,
no,
Mr. Sexy Back himself,
hot back Mino, get in there,
yeah,
dig in. So, and Mino, you know, because in Point Break, he says, Johnny, give me two meatball subs. He had two meatball subs, and he gave me one of his meatball subs. And that meatball sub made me go to the bathroom twice, and inevitably, left the theater because it gave me some bad, bad stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So be careful with the meatball sub. That's not what I'm talking about, Adam. You know what's hot right now?
TikTok dances.
No, Adam, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking a character that we all know and love that doesn't have an origin story and giving them a big, epic origin story.
Yeah.
And my idea, think about it. It's Disney.
Okay.
It's a good maybe sign. Culturally insensitive, so we can kind of go back and change some things.
Pocahontas.
No.
The Crows.
But that's a good idea,
Dumbo.
Too. No, that's another one, too. Keep that. Write those down. It's okay. The Captain Hook movie.
What? How is that sensitive?
The Native Americans in the movie.
Because the Lost Boys.
We make the Native Americans good. We make the Lost Boys evil.
Okay.
Yeah. The Lost Boys are evil.
I'm into it. I'm into a Captain Hook origin story.
So it's going to star, because like Jude Law would be perfect, but he's too old. So we got to get a guy like Jude Law.
Charlie Hunnam.
Maybe. That's a good one. And he's just like a rapscallion. He's going around the seven seas doing all this shit. And Alligator.
Weird Al.
Yeah, that's what his name is. That's what they call him. And Alligator is his son. Think about it.
Wait, hold. Okay, so an Alligator. Are you talking about the son of Captain Hook?
I'm thinking the Alligator is a metaphor. It never was an Alligator. It was his son who took his hand.
Oh, wow.
How
his
did
son,
he lose that hand? Now son. We know.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a reason he wants to fight little boys?
We can workshop. Well, his son is a little boy, and he became a lost boy.
Mm.
He became a lost boy, and he cut his hand off.
Okay.
But you know what's it's revealed is that son, his name was Peter.
Okay. Trey, write it down. Mail it to yourself.
I just knocked my headphone off. Hold on. What were you saying about my genius
idea? Your
idea
was so good, it blew it off. I want you to write it down. I want you to mail it to yourself.
Okay.
That way, you have the rights. That's how it works.
I have the rights to this. This is my idea.
And Disney has to pay you.
Yes.
They must.
They must. This is my idea. It's now, unfortunately, we can't call it Hook.
Oh, okay.
Because that's already been done.
Right.
So we can call it
Captain.
The Captain. or just captain. You know, take the "the" out. "The"'s not it.
Is he? Is he a captain at that point, though?
No, maybe he's not a captain.
Maybe he's a peg boy, and it's the
it's
his rise from peg boy to captain.
We meet Shmi.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Wendy is there too. Like, Wendy's there. She makes a cameo.
But she'd be baby.
I know, but like, it's a baby Wendy, and he's like, her name is Wendy, and he sends her away to London because he saves her. But Captain Hook, because of the horror, we could also mix this in a little Heart of Darkness, you know, a little bit of that, a little Apocalypse Now, and he's sailing through Neverland, and it's just like all this weird shit's going on, and he just goes insane, and he becomes like Captain Kurtz almost.
Okay, how about this? How about a dark origin story for Dopey?
Okay, is he was on dope?
He was a crack baby.
I like it. Write it down. See? Mail it to yourself.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Lady and the Tramp don't need no man, just Lady.
It's like Stella got her groove back.
Mm-hmm. Just Jafar.
Jafar origin story, okay.
Scar, you know, we've done these.
We have.
This is a good idea, though. I'm with it.
Though, I mean, you could do a creepy ass Peter Pan, like creepy ass Lost Boys. They all look like creepy ass little devil children, you know?
Right. That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
That is. Think about it.
I'm with it. Into it.
Adam, what have you been watching?
Trey, I watched a number of documentaries.
Oh, some docs.
I did. So I was getting ready kind of before the Oscar nominations were out. I looked at the shortlist. Usually that's how I watch my documentaries for the year, is I go through and kind of see what is getting nominated, and I watch those, and that's how I get my documentary fix. On top of, you know, whatever Netflix puts out, because now they have, like, or whatever, Hulu already has something on GameStop or some shit.
Oh, they do?
It's like immediate now. Yeah. And that, I'm like, all right, calm down. But, so I watched three documentaries. Two of them ended up getting Oscar nominated. I watched My Octopus Teacher.
Hey, that's the Hang Zone movie.
Yeah, so I skipped it because I hadn't seen it, so I didn't get to hear any of the Hang Zone talk about it.
Uh huh.
But my takeaway, one, like, made me want to get scuba certified so bad. Have you ever been scuba diving?
I've not. That'd be great though. I'd be down to do that.
Scuba diving is like the coolest thing that I've ever done in my life. It's so awesome. Like, you're down. It's truly like spacewalk.
Yeah.
Because you're so deep under the water, and you're just like floating there. And when I did it, it was in the Caymans. So like the water is just like perfect temperature. So it is almost like doesn't even exist.
Right.
And so you're just kind of like floating around, seeing all these weird like alien creatures going by you and stuff. And he doesn't actually scuba dive in My Octopus Teacher. He just like swims. He just goes under and he's like, yeah, you can hold your breath longer after a while. It's like, why would you do that?
It's sort of a grizzly man in a way.
A little bit. Yeah.
But he doesn't get eaten by the puss.
No, he just falls in love.
So, all right, you didn't listen to the Hang Zone talk about it.
I did not.
Do you think he fucked that octopus?
Do I think he actually fucked it?
Yes.
No. Do I think he put the suction cups on his little wiener just to see what it felt like? Absolutely.
Okay.
He's like, you're going to make me ink.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was not nominated?
That was.
Oh, it was.
That one was nominated.
Great.
I do not think that it is. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It's beautiful. Like it, it looks great. And it's a really interesting story. But the documentary category is generally the winner is bringing attention to some sort of tragedy.
That's what I would assume. Yeah.
Always. And this is like sad. Like if it even had the smallest thing at the end, they're like, oh, they're trying to save the kelp forest or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if there was anything more of that earlier on, I would say maybe. Otherwise, it's just like,
it's a good doc, but it's not like,
right.
It's not important, Adam.
Right. I would say that. And there's a lot of like,
it's not Trial of the Chicago 7. That's for sure.
Well, right.
No.
Exactly.
And who so, could be?
We'll get to that, I'm sure. I also watched, this is the one that didn't get nominated, Dick Johnson is Dead.
Yeah, I've seen that. I didn't know that was a documentary. I thought that was a movie.
No.
But that's
so it is.
Okay, I've heard about
it
that.
It is a, it's just like a filmmaker lady, and she knows that her dad's getting close to dying. And, And so she just wants to like, kind of the premise is that she's going to like fake his death in a bunch of ways. And they're going to talk about life through all the different things, all the different ways that he could die or whatever. This movie fucked me up. I was on the goddamn plane, and it's like, it talks about it. The whole thing is it's like, it's a lighthearted look at death and stuff like that, but it almost makes it worse because it's like so much more real that like everybody's so open in talking about it and like all this stuff. It's very sad. I had a nose full of masked snot.
Oh no.
I was like, it was just like, I don't know what it was about it.
By the way, congrats on the getting married.
Oh well, yeah
I see your little wedding ring on your little finger right there.
One step closer to death. That's what Trey was like, oh, death? I know Adam got married. That's how I view that.
Yep, that's how I view death.
To Trey, getting tied down to one person is like freaking death. He'd rather have death. None.
I'd rather be dead.
Right. Then
I need all my honeys.
Right, exactly. All options open.
So open.
And then I watched Time, which got nominated. And it is this woman. Yeah, it's about clocks. And it is just slowly zooms in on the clock for 2 hours. It's a woman whose husband, her and her husband, robbed a bank.
Cool.
Right.
Interested.
He got 90 years in jail for it.
That's
in prison.
Much.
And so it's just like her attempt to get him out on parole.
Why 90 years?
It was just the way the sentencing.
Our legal system's weird.
Well, right. And that's what the whole thing is about. It's like the legal system's weird. People in it, like there's just so much like paperwork and procedural stuff and all these things where like you're just like trying to she is going through these people trying to get her husband released from jail, and they're like, I don't know, like we'll send you a message when we get it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like everybody along the way, it's like they're being inconvenienced for their work, which like I get to an extent because it's like your work day and this lady's calling you every day wondering when the judge is making a decision about her husband, but it's like her husband's life, like he's trapped behind bars. And
well, they
she
did
just
rob the bank, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
But
90
she's just
years.
Like consistently.
Yeah.
Right. She's just
how
like
long
consistently
did she get?
On it. She only ended up, she was like the getaway driver. She didn't. And so she got less time. I'm trying to remember how much she got. I think it was maybe 2 years, 2 or 3.
Wow. Why did he get 90? Like, was there a reason?
There is. I mean, it's.
Can I ask the question? Is he black?
He is black, yes.
Okay. Well.
and it's some sort of old Louisiana law, but he got sentenced under it, and then now it, like, the sentencing rules are different, but he's still under the old one and stuff like that.
That's bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's another tough one. And you have, like, the kids who have never known their dad, and it's she kind of throughout the process is videotaping the kids' lives. So when he gets out, he'll be able to watch, like, all these moments for the kids. And so they have all the video. She's doing it throughout. So it's a pretty cool doc in that sense. And then it's just, like, one of those things that feels important. Like, it's
important.
Right. So it's a whole thing on criminal justice reform and stuff like that.
What do you think wins best doc?
Well, I have not watched three of them. So the other ones are Collective, which I'm trying to remember what that one was about. I read about it, but I don't know. Crip Camp. It's for a bunch of people who are disabled, like crippled.
Ew.
And they all go to this one place, and it's about
harsh name
inclusion
for it.
And stuff like that. They can say it, you can't say it.
Okay.
And then the Mole Agent, which I don't know if I know much about. So I don't know. I mean, out of the ones I've seen, I would choose Time over My Octopus Teacher. But I actually haven't looked up the odds, so maybe I will pull up the goldderby.com.
Never tell me the odds.
Well, there you go. You know, if you type in the Gold Derby, the first thing that comes up is Masked Singer.
All right.
You got to guess who it is.
Who is it? It's a TikTok star, I bet.
Well, it was Kermit before.
Oh, yeah? I remember Kermit? Saw that. It was very disturbing. Just pops out like a chest burster.
Let's see. What else did I watch? I watched a movie that is 100% for sure going to win an Oscar. That is Another Round.
Yeah, that looks good.
Mads Mikkelsen.
I'm interested. That director is real good.
Yes. And so the reason I say he's guaranteed to win is because Best International Film, it's nominated for. The director is the only one in the category nominated for Best Director.
Yeah.
So that's like when you have the Best Picture nominee and one of them's an animated movie. And you're like, okay, so that means that this is the best animated movie. Yeah, so put your life savings on
Another Round
to
win. So that director did a movie, and it started like the Dogma 95 movement. And he did a movie called The Celebration, which is... So the whole style, and Lars von Trier does this as well. And the whole style is like, there's really no lighting, no extra music, you know, effects, stuff like that. It's just pure, raw, we're shooting this, and that's the movie. Bare bones. And Celebration, man, it is a family drama, and it is fucked. It's really good. We watched it in film school, in film class, but, it's very good. It's very disturbing. And because, like, again, there's no music, there's nothing to distract you. And so you're just there. You're there in this twisted family ordeal. So, yeah, that's the same director. So I'm interested to see this, another round.
So that movie, it's, Norwegian.
Yeah.
And it stars Mads Mikkelsen from Hannibal.
From
Rogue One
and
as
Death
well.
Stranding. And James Bond.
Is he?
Yeah. Kojima has a little man crush on Mads Mikkelsen.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
He and his friends, they're all teachers, and they're all kind of uninspired and worn down by life or whatever. And one of them brings up Mads Mikkelsen more than the others, I would say. And they bring up a study that says, like, oh, humans' blood alcohol count is about 0.05 lower than it should be,
mm-hmm.
essentially. And so what they do as a scientific study is just to always slightly be buzzed
mm-hmm.
for a period of time to see.
Hey, Adam, call that college, bro.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Yes. Please. Yes.
All right.
So they do that. And then eventually they kind of step it up, and then they step it up a little more. And this is the movie. Okay. So, I bet just kind of by telling you the premise of it, you could probably kind of nail everything that happens.
Uh-huh.
Like if you had to guess.
Someone sleeps with a student.
Okay.
Someone gets fired. That's
not the okay. One for two.
Someone sleeps with someone else?
I mean, I'm just talking about like the general.
Someone gets fired. Like, someone like knocks over a desk. You know, knocks okay. over something. Someone
but
vomits
just kinda
in
like
class.
The general path of it is like, okay, so they try this alcohol thing. How do you think it goes?
Bad or good? I don't know. I mean, could go good. It could go good. Like, hey, we're all now free and whatever. But I could see it getting really bad, where they get real addicted to it and they're unproductive.
So maybe it starts off.
It starts off a lot of fun. And then it gets not so fun.
See. So yeah. Okay. So it took a little bit of prompting, but uh-huh. it's not that hard to
right
find out. Like, I mean, you kind of know what it's going to be going in.
Yeah.
I wasn't in love with it.
Okay.
Like I think a lot of people are. I actually kind of just thought it was like,
okay,
kind of pretty predictable, and there's some choices sure. that they make that I'm not super in love with, but I don't know. I mean, I rented it. I would say that it's probably better wait for it to be streaming
okay.
somewhere for free than to actually go out and spend the money.
Mads Mikkelsen is good. I like Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, and like I don't think that he's the issue with
okay.
the movie. I'll say
just
that.
Maybe a boring premise, maybe. Or
it's not that it's boring. It's just like
predictable.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. more of what it is. And in the ways that it is unpredictable, I don't think that it. I like those.
Is it like Yorgos where it gets weird?
No.
Okay.
I think I probably would have liked it more if it got weird. Yeah.
If got a little hair in that teeth there.
There's a. It makes like going to school in Norway seem awesome.
Uh-huh. I bet.
So there's like
anything in Norway is awesome.
So there's like cool, like going to school, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But them all celebrating graduation, they wear like instead of the mortar boards and stuff, they have their own little outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And
do they all look like Midsommar?
It's not Midsommar. They look kind of like little sailors almost.
Little sailors, all right.
Yeah, or like little army, like yeah. Nutcracker army costumes almost.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a good time.
I remember showing Casper's the trailer for Midsommar. It's like, oh, we had that in Afia.
You would like to come?
You want to come? Come to my family Midsommar? No.
Let's see. And then I watched Jimmy's Hall last
okay.
night.
Okay.
Which is about how communism is good.
Ooh.
I
don't know, man.
It's set in Ireland in like the 30s. And mm-hmm. it's basically, imagine if Footloose was set in the 30s in Ireland.
Okay.
And this guy has a hall. He basically makes a YMCA. He builds a YMCA.
Chalet. Yeah.
And everyone goes to dance and the church does not like it.
Is there a scene where they talk about Hitler and someone's like, ah, he ain't gonna do shit, and some other guy's like, I don't know, he seems like he is controlling a lot of people, and they're all winking at the camera?
There is not quite, but that's a good one. That's a good call. It's like a fun movie trope.
Yeah, that is. Well,
this
Hitler guy. What's he up to?
He's all the way over there. What's he gonna do?
You won't hear from him in 2 months. The German people are very smart. They're gonna know he's bad.
Don't worry about it.
What's this concentration camp? I don't know, man.
Don't worry. He says weird things, but nobody follows him. Everything's cool.
Yeah, no one's gonna take him seriously. Wink, wink, wink. That's good.
So there you go. That's what I watched.
Well, I mentioned already the two movies I've watched.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I did watch 3 episodes of Ted Lasso.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to talk a little Ted Lasso?
Yeah, sure. That show is delightful. It's I see what you mean. Like, he is just extremely positive.
That's the whole thing.
But not like a queasy positivity, like a very likable positivity, you know?
Like the first time that I remember being like oh boy, and getting that warm feeling in my stomach is the end of episode 2 where you see that he's the one making the cookies.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, it's so just sweet.
The sweetest guy. Yeah. Like, he just has all the right things to say, and he's just the nicest guy, and kind of... not really. I guess there are football coaches like that. But I mean, I've had some like that. But you know, that he's that not your in your face kind of football coach. He's very nice. And I've been enjoying it. I like how it kind of goes into familiar territory, like the you know, like you could compare it to like Mr. Deeds. You could compare it to Major League with the owner, though I think her character is a lot more sympathetic, and I feel like she's gonna learn there of her ways, and he's a good dude, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but like it seems like she's way more sympathetic than just like she's much less of a villain than they could have made her, you know what I mean? Like, she's definitely not, she's maybe his foil, but not even his foil, because like he everything that kind of tries to get him, he kind of is impervious to it, but
right.
Yeah, I just think it's well written, and I think Jason Sudeikis is great. I have never really had an opinion on him on anything. I kind of missed that era of SNL,
right,
which I kind of regret, because I really like a lot of those people, like Bill Hader and all of them, and Fred Armistead and all those guys. And so, like, yeah, I've never really seen him in much, so I never had an opinion on him, but he's really good in this, and it's that insane likability he has, you know, yeah, it's very well done, and I'm enjoying the show.
And, like, I don't know, it's funny.
Yeah,
like,
it's very funny.
It's, I've heard people, it's not like, I mean, there are jokes. I don't want to say there's not jokes. But I know like Kevin Turner hates it.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is confusing to me.
Because he loves The Office and Parks and Rec.
Yeah, but I don't feel like this is too terribly off from like a Parks and Rec concept, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of the whole Leslie Knope deal. Like, it's kind of Leslie Knope, where it's like you win them over with overwhelming positivity.
Yeah.
But it's not even that. Like,
he's a bit
annoying.
More, and I, you know, like he has a bit more mystery, because you don't really know where he's at all the time. Like, he's almost, it follows him, but it doesn't. Like, there's like a shield where you're like, what makes this guy who he is? And then you get like kind of the tidbits about his wife. Maybe he's having problems at home with his wife. I don't know. Like, you know, there's a little mystery there, but. Yeah, he's a little, like, Leslie Knope was an open book. He's a little more, you don't really get into, like, really know him. You know, is that correct? Or, like, I feel like you're kind of, he's like an enigma almost. You're wondering, why is this guy the way he is? Why is he like this? In like a good way, like, oh, this is great, but I wonder if there's anything kind of maybe more sinister going on. I don't know. And then Leslie Knope's more just like, she's an open book. Right. I don't know. I don't know if that's a reason why you could like either, but
I mean, that's a that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So let's talk about the movies that you watched.
So I watched,
because I guess that'll go along with our Oscars discussion, because the Oscar nominations went out. That's always a kind of a big deal for us, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So you watched two of the
Yes, I have one more to watch. I have The Father left to watch, which is going to be kind of sad.
Right. That has not come out in the U.S. yet.
So I watched Mank and Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yes.
So Mank is David Fincher, and I love David Fincher.
Yes.
This might be... I don't know, man. So, I have a weird thing. I don't know if it's my speaker, because I could understand Trial of Chicago 7 well. I had a hard time making out what people were saying in Mank.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, maybe it's just my hearing's bad. Maybe it's something. Well,
the whole thing has the hiss of like old movies and stuff. The sound design is actually very interesting, because it's done in that old Hollywood way.
You can hear a lot of the similar like music cues that a lot of those old movies would have. I think it's an excellent work of let's make an old movie. Let's make a movie from the 30s,
right?
Or the 40s, and put that on TV. And the whole deal with like the studios and how they were just kind of like churning out things, like they were just products, you know, not really any artistic endeavor. They're just piece of entertainment, which is kind of ironic that the movie was on Netflix, because that's what they're doing.
Yep.
I thought that was cool. I wish, because I feel like there is a story there that maybe I wasn't just getting all of it. I wasn't maybe understanding all of it. The significance, like with him and the what's the guy who owned the newspaper?
Hearst?
Not Orson Welles. I understood that. They got a good actor to play Orson Welles. That was a very good Orson Welles. Orson Welles has an awesome voice.
Right.
They got a good Orson Welles. His main nemesis throughout the thing that he based Citizen Kane on.
Hearst.
Okay, yeah, Hearst.
That's what
I'm sorry. I thought you said Orson or something.
No.
All right, so I didn't understand why they were feuding. Or why he was against him.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
It's been a while since I've watched it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like a criticism of him being a no good dirty capitalist.
Okay. So he just didn't like him. And that's why he based all that character on him. And then was that scene where he's at the dinner party, like, was that sort of was that a dream sequence, or was that like him, his last like straw? And okay, I don't know. Like, no, I was a little confused.
It wasn't a dream sequence.
Okay, because like I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch it. Maybe I need to read up on it. I was a little. I don't know. It's weird. I just maybe not really under hearing it very well, or I don't know what it was, but I just maybe didn't absorb it as well. I liked all the stuff with him writing. I liked all his interactions with Orson Welles. I wish maybe there was more of that, though. I don't think Fincher was trying to make that kind of movie, because he mentioned, like, you know, the movie is the whole idea behind the movie is this like debate whether how much Orson Welles wrote Citizen Kane, how much it was Gary Oldman's character,
right?
And they kind of get into that, but not really. Like, it's not what the movie's about, you know. That's a very small part of the movie, where at the end you know, because he was going to do this uncredited, then at the very end he wanted credit,
right?
And I'm guessing he wanted credit to stick it to Hearst, right? To let him know, I wrote this, and this is you
a little bit. Yeah. I would say it's a little bit of that. And yeah, just because Wells wanted to rewrite it without him. So then he wanted credit. And so that whole deal.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, I said it at the time when I watched it. It really just made me want to watch Orson, not Orson Welles. It made me want to watch Citizen Kane.
They made it kind of in the structure of Citizen Kane as well, where it's sort of flashbacks and
for sure.
Yeah, and it's. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, but like just watching a movie where they talk about how good this script is the whole time. And how great this movie's going to be and how it's like, well, I want to watch that movie. I don't want to watch this movie. I want to watch this great movie that you guys are talking about.
Right.
So I did. I mean, I watched Citizen Kane like almost as soon as I finished the movie because I was like, all right.
Rewatch Citizen Kane. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
It's great. If that I think is the best thing about Mank is that it made me rewatch Citizen Kane. So there you go. I like you. You told me you were going to watch Trial of Chicago 7 and Mank, and I said, and you asked what order you should watch them in, and I said, watch Mank earlier because
there were times where I was going to lying down and had to get up, and I'm like,
oh. Right. I was like, if you're worried about falling asleep, don't put Mank on last because it just sort of meanders in a way where, like,
oh, definitely.
You have to be super engaged in it.
Yeah.
In order for it to. Like really catch you.
Maybe I just wasn't as engaged. I don't know.
Well, I agree. Like, I mean, I just don't think it's. I don't think it's that great of a movie. I don't think it's like badly done. I think it's like really well done, and there's a lot of good stuff in it.
But not what I want to see from Fincher.
Right, for sure.
And I've said that before. Like, my Fincher doing. I mean, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's. Who gives a shit?
Yeah,
about
he's
you know? Yeah, but like you know, it's I like it when he's doing his trashy crime novels. You know, his sleazy noir movies.
Right.
You know, but hey, it's fine. It would suck if he like won Best Picture for this.
Yeah,
it's like that's the one that you know you don't want him to. It's
agreed.
Like yeah. It's like, well, Zodiac was amazing, but okay.
Right.
I guess this.
It is interesting that Mank did win a bunch of stuff. It did not win screenplay, which I think is kind of maybe the whole reason that Fincher wanted to do it. His dad wrote the screenplay
exactly.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, wanted to make, basically went to Netflix and said, hey, I want to make this. After studios had turned it down forever from his dad. And so I'm sure that kind of hurts.
Yeah.
Because it was like the whole thing. It
whole
like gets nominated for all this stuff. It's like, yeah, all the stuff you did was good. But
the screenplay that your dad wrote.
Stuff your dad did. you almost brought it up to a level that we enjoyed. But it was still a little bummer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think I gave that 3.5 stars. I also watched Trial of the Chicago 7 by Aaron Sorkin.
It's a totally different.
That was very different. The first, watching Mank, then watching this. Oh, also, I guess Gary Oldman can just put on a fat suit and win and get an Academy Award nomination now.
Right.
Yes. That's all he has to do. That's what he should have been doing earlier because he's
like, he realized.
Yeah. Just put on the fat suit, and there you go.
Noms galore. Trey's crying just thinking about how the police beat those poor hippies.
So I watched Trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh, he's
Aaron
so
Sorkin. I'm not worked up. I thought it was incredible. It was an incredible story. So I don't know whether... I've never had that big of an opinion on Aaron Sorkin. I believe I like his stuff. I love The Social Network. I know that was Fincher who directed, but Sorkin wrote, correct?
Right. Yep.
I've never really hated him, but I could see why people don't like him after watching this.
Yeah.
I didn't,
it's like a very... It's a very, like... you either love it or hate it sort of thing.
And it was weird because I'm like, okay, I'm getting wrapped up in a lot of this stuff. The judge is a dick. Fuck that guy.
Right.
These cops are dicks. Fuck these cops. But also I'm like, well, he's doing this in a very ham-fisted way to make me feel these emotions. You know, I'm not too familiar with the I'm sure those people were horrible monster people in real life. But like, I don't know. I felt like I was being manipulated in a way watching it.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely feels that way because the way it's talked about in the movie, from what I've heard in doing all the kind of like fact checking and stuff like that, articles that everybody said, hey, you need to read when you watch this. The judge and cops were probably worse than they were depicted.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In this.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And like, openly in court were okay. Just like willingly do it. And it, because it seems insane.
Yes, like, it does seem insane.
It seems like so like, far.
The court scenes, I don't, like, it seemed like they barely talked about what happened. It was just like, just this horrible judge doing horrible things to these people, right. You know?
I do think maybe that, like, by putting it in all back to back, kind of like the way you would have to in a movie.
Yeah.
It makes it seem like, okay, he's doing a lot of this without any reason or anything like that. Where, I mean, kind of stuff built. Like they were, the Abbie Hoffman and all them, they were openly like being defiant the whole time in court, and the judge hated them for that. But then there's like whatever, they bound and gag that dude, like that was real, and did it for like a lot of time. Like it was not just like a.
And what was that? So his story was he was just there and got like arrested,
right? Yes,
like just wasn't doing anything. He was just in Chicago, got arrested, and then at the beginning of the movie, like, hey, let's get all these people together and make it look like they're all cahooting and. We got them on like
because they wanted it to seem like the Black Panthers were a part of it to make the other guys seem worse because the Black Panthers had such a bad rap, and that he planned it with them because that's what they're trying to get them
right
on, is that
right
where they conspiracy. Had crossed state lines to plan this riot essentially.
It was cool seeing this right after Judas and the Black Messiah because when Fred Hampton dies, you know exactly what happened. Like, oh, right. I just saw that movie. There you go. This.
Yes.
I know this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because I don't read history books. I can only rely on movies I've seen to know what happened.
There you go.
So that was cool. Not cool, but interesting.
Well, it's cool, dude, the way Fred Hampton died.
Yeah, man.
Radical.
So cool. So... I think I texted you that I thought Sacha Baron Cohen was good. I just find that kind of character annoying. The character were like, hey, the director knows this guy's pretty fucking cool. He's going to say a lot of cool things about the man. And just, I find that a little annoying.
Well, I do think that there's like Sorkin obviously is, he's kind of like he's the moderate guy. Like, why can't everybody come together? And why can't everything be the West Wing that is a fake world that he created where they put aside politics to do what's right? And Abbie Hoffman is kind of like his far left, and where he wants everybody to. It's pretty obvious is that his line of thinking is more what he puts in the Eddie Redmayne character, even though that guy's way farther left than it seems.
Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, so there's I thought Sacha Baron Cohen's pretty good in it, but yes, the character is like purposefully annoying, and even though he's not necessarily represented correctly either.
This is disturbing that he killed himself later in life. Do they know why? Do you know why?
I don't know why.
I don't know either. I was just wondering. Let's see here. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I don't know why they even had him in the movie. Because, like, he's kind of does nothing. He's just there.
Well, he's... Well...
I mean, I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I just feel like...
He's the one on the other... On the other side who you could kind of... He's just doing his job, and he is this, and he's going to stand for the names being read off.
Yeah, that was a real cheesy moment.
Which, that did not happen.
That didn't happen? I didn't think it did.
And, yeah, that's, like, the cheesiest, worst part.
Yeah, that's the Sorkin... Let's all come together and be Americans, guys.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's read all the names, and he's like, I'm standing for the fallen or whatever he says. Yeah. So that's the. I don't know. There's like shades of gray in there that are just like not.
Yeah, it's like
portrayed, or he's trying to make people almost have more. Shades of gray than they need to.
Sure. Yeah, it seemed very Hollywooded, and we're going to make this real cool and rah-rah and fuck the man. But we like America, too. We like it, too. We like it, but fuck these guys. But we like it. I don't know. It was very Sorkin, I guess, and it was okay. I don't know. I don't think that went into my top five. Favorite. Those two movies did not go into my favorite Academy Award nominees. Okay. I'd say. I don't think so. I might have to revisit Mank. Maybe I don't know if I will, but or maybe look up maybe more. I don't know. But I don't know. It's a weird year. Or I mean, we've said that 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But like even the top five movies that were nominated, I don't think any of them I really, really like. You know?
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Academy Awards nominations came out. Nomadland was nominated for a ton of stuff. That's nominated for Best Picture. Trial of Chicago 7, as we said. Minari, Promising Young Woman, Mank,
okay.
Judas and the Black Messiah, The Father, and Sound of Metal. So do you have a way that you would rank them?
Looking at this list, I've not seen The Father yet.
Right.
I would say... Mank, Judas and the Black Messiah, Minari. You're going
from the bottom?
No. I'm just saying. Okay, let me rank them. Okay, I would say of these, my least favorite one would probably be Trial of the Chicago 7. Then I'd probably put Mank. Then I'd put Minari. No, you know what? I'd put Judas and the Black Messiah, then Minari. Though I think the performances in Judas were so good.
Yeah.
Those could be interchangeable. Then I would put, I guess we got three left, right? So I'd put maybe Nomadland, Sound of Metal, Promising Young Woman.
Okay. Promising Young Woman first.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I think for me, it's probably Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal,
then
Big Gap.
Yeah.
Minari, Trial of Chicago 7, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank.
Yeah, those three are probably the top three.
That's the way I see it. On this this odds thing, it has Nomadland first at 4-1. Minari and Trial of Chicago 7 at 6-1.
Wow. Okay.
And then Sound of Metal is last.
Yeah.
Tied with The Father at 19-2.
Mm-hmm. I don't see that having a chance. I see Nomadland. Nomadland's good. It's really good. I don't know. Like, it's, again, those three are pretty close together as far as, like, how much I liked them. Those top
That's
three.
One that I was like, oh, okay, that's like really, really good.
Like after I've been watching. Yeah. I probably will win. Unless Minari does. Because I could see with like some of the I don't know, like not to like make it political, but I'm sure that goes into it, right? That can go into it.
I mean, I'm sure it probably could.
Because, like, with all, like, the anti-Asian stuff going on, like, I could see them being, like, Maybe we need to award like a movie that shows the plight of Asian Americans. I don't know. It could be. I mean, I wouldn't like, I don't know. It's a very good movie too. I'm not saying it's that's why it would win. I think like maybe that's just forefront of mind.
Would
you know?
Give it. Would give yeah. it a
maybe a push.
A push.
Yeah.
In a little, yeah. Okay. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not being like people who are like
right. Like that's the only
woke. No, it's just right. I could see that maybe being like. Because that's what the awards are, right? It's campaigning. It's being top of mind. It's being the movie that people are thinking about at the moment. So, right. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like whereas Trial of Chicago 7 was very much of the moment
right.
over the summer.
Yeah.
Maybe
not now.
Maybe not as much.
Because Trump lost, it's all great now, right?
Right. Yeah. Now everything's yeah. fine. We can go back Perfect. To... watching old men fall upstairs and nobody has a rude comment anymore.
No.
Oh, what? Now we're just fine with people falling upstairs? Just imagine what it would have been like if he would have fallen.
I've seen some fun memes, though. I've seen some good memes.
No, I mean, it's funny.
It's very funny.
Man fell down. That's like the yes, funny.
It's hilarious.
The basis of all humor.
Right. All right. What do you think will win? What do you want to win and what do you think will win?
Nomadland will win.
Yes.
It would be. I'm so surprised that Promising Young Woman is getting.
Yeah.
All the love.
That's the most comedic like, movie to be nominated in a while.
It's. I mean, and it's.
Well, maybe not. Yeah, nah, like, Jojo like, Rabbit was nominated last year.
Right. And yes, that is kind of like a funnier look at yeah. a serious thing. Promising Young Woman is. It is lighthearted, but it's like very dark as well. Like uh-huh. It's strange to me that because it seems like it would turn a lot of people off.
Oh yeah,
the fact that it's getting as much love as it is, I'm kind of impressed. So
mm-hmm.
I don't
I'd
know
like
if
to
I
see
want
it.
It to win. I think Nomadland is probably. I think it's. Probably my highest rated of the year. If you go back and look through mm-hmm. my stuff, I mean, I think I had Palm Springs higher as far as my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't re-ranked everything yet.
Yeah, I haven't either,
but it would be up there. So I wouldn't have an issue with Nomadland.
No, me neither.
At all.
I think it's very good. Frances McDormand's great. I think it's really good. I think it was funny. I was listening to Grierson and Leach podcast, and they're talking about how like they kind of know it's a front runner because people are now like talking about how it portrays Amazon in a good light. It's like okay. yeah, now they're you know make the, right. now they're nitpicking things, and so right. you know it's the front runner because they're nitpicking.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Best director. You have Chloe Zhao of Nomadland, Lee Isaac Chung of Minari, David Fincher of Mank, Emerald Fennell of Promising Young Woman,
yeah.
and Thomas Vinterberg of another round.
So you got
which
two
we talked
women.
About earlier. Yeah, two women for the first time ever,
yeah.
I believe. Is
a lot
the,
of firsts.
Yeah. Chloe Zhao is leading in the odds.
Okay.
She's won a lot of the other best director awards as mm-hmm. it goes around. So there's that best
no
actress.
No Aaron Sorkin. There you go.
No Aaron Sorkin. Carey Mulligan, Frances McDormand, Andra Day for The United States versus Billie Holiday, Viola Davis for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and Vanessa Kirby for Pieces of a Woman. Carey Mulligan they have as leading the category over Frances McDormand. I think that's an interesting
really
category. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, huh. if you are going to say that Promising Young Woman is one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Nomadland. Like Carey Mulligan carries that entire
yeah.
movie and walks a pretty
I thought it was
interesting line with it.
I thought it was McLovin who carried that movie.
Well yeah. You would. You'd pick the white man.
I would. I would pick McLovin. My sister went on a date with him.
With McLovin?
Yeah. I don't think he liked him. I think he liked her. She didn't really like him. I'm like, why don't you just date McLovin? Shut up.
Wait, hold
on. She lived in LA.
When did this happen?
Yeah, years ago when she lived in LA for a while.
Back when he was like peak McLovin fame?
No. This was like 2015, 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like Kick-Ass had been out for a while.
Yeah. Like it's not like not peak McLovin, but you know.
Right.
But she knows him.
How did you meet him?
She was in LA, man. She was like doing a lot of like the Hollywood stuff. I mean, she knew I'm not sure how like she met him, but she knew, you know, a bunch of she was friends with Mike Judge. So like she just knew a lot of people.
Interesting.
I should get a job out there, man. I could get a job out there. Why don't I do it? Let's do it, man.
Is she back?
She's been back for a long time. She's been back for a while.
Okay. Let's see. 2015, Christopher Mintz.
I don't know if it was 2015, but.
Well, let's just throw it out there. That was when he was in Tag.
Okay. It might have been earlier than
that. She went on a date with a guy who was in, like, he could have been like, hey, you want to go see Tag? And then he would have been in the movie. That would have been sick.
Yeah. Look up Scary Movie, the last Scary Movie.
The last Scary Movie?
Yeah, because that was, she was in that.
She was in, like what did she do? Did she get?
She was a dancer.
What kind
of dancing, yeah. Not that kind of dancer, sir.
I said what kind? I was Scary Movie 5 in 2013.
Was it 2013? Can't have been. Maybe. I don't know.
Huh.
Anyway.
Well, way to go, Trey's sister. And way to go, Christopher Mintz Kloss.
Whenever they had Mike Judge on would maybe be a better bro. So maybe 2014. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Let's keep going.
Maybe you could ask her to
give him the number.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might.
And he could call into the podcast.
Well, my other sister said that she knew Timothy Chalamet. Because they showed her like some dance thing she was at. He was there. And like they were friends.
He was a little dancing man?
Probably. A lot of those guys are.
That's cool.
Those actors. I know Tom Holland was a dancer.
If we somehow were able to get...
I've asked her about that. She doesn't Timothy have Chalamet, his number, and she doesn't really know him that well.
But
it was like,
let's just throw it out there. What would we possibly talk to him about?
He said he liked Red Dead Redemption. We could talk about that.
Yeah. He's just like...
Man, you like Red Dead? What's Dune like?
Cool.
Is that cool?
Cool. You had a little thing in your nose?
Denis Villeneuve, cool.
Is that good?
Seems cool.
Annoying.
Did Army Hammer try to eat you?
He'd probably answer all those questions fairly and honestly.
I don't know if he's a bad guy.
I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm just saying, like, if we asked him, hey, is the guy that you started a movie with and are going to star in another movie with?
He might not, dude. There's some sex charges on him recently. There's some rape charges. Yeah. So he might not be in it.
That's going to make it hard.
Yeah.
Good thing he has a twin brother.
They could use the
one from The Social Network. Yeah. They say, no, it's the other one.
Exactly.
This is Navy Hammer.
Yeah. This is National Guard Hammer.
Best actor, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Anthony Hopkins for The Father, Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal, Steven Yeun for Minari, and Gary Oldman for Mank. Chadwick Boseman, the favorite.
Now, is he the favorite because he died?
I would say, having seen it, yes.
Okay. Which is, you know what? Fine. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. I just don't like... I didn't like Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, though.
Uh-huh. What's it about?
It's about...
Black Bottom.
A recording session for Ma Rainey. And she's a singer. And she's putting together an album. And Chadwick Boseman is the trumpet player in her band, and he's like a little too good for this.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to kind of go solo and do his own thing and do these his own like arrangements on these songs. But Ma Rainey is like, no, we're going to do it this way. And so, and then he's just like getting frustrated with the whole situation. He's not bad in it, but like, I do think.
Do you think he was better in the Five Bloods?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And I think Riz Ahmed was so good in Sound of Metal.
It's a hard role to play.
Right, for sure. So I think that was really good. Steven Yeun, that's the first Asian.
I'm just happy for him
to be nominated. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad he got.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he was also very good. I don't necessarily think that he should win. Anthony Hopkins is apparently supposed to be amazing as well, as a guy who's losing his mind, which may not be the hardest thing for Anthony Hopkins to pretend. I mean, he's it. Whatever.
He's an old man.
Have you seen the videos he posts online?
Those are fun. He's a fun old man. Come on.
Come on. Best Supporting Actress, Yoo Jung-yoon from Minari.
Yeah.
Maria Bakalova from Borat. Glenn Close from Hillbilly Elegy. Olivia Colman from The Father. Amanda Seyfried from Mank. This is a pretty wide open
Amanda
category.
Seyfried was very... She was the
wife.
She was very cute in that movie. Let me just say. Oh. That doesn't mean she should win, but I thought she was very cute.
Well, that's how Trey rates them.
I rate them that way.
Yeah, but only one of them drank pee-pee.
You're right. I think she was great. The grandma was a very good character too. She was very good
in that. She is the favorite right now.
Oh, wow.
Glenn Close. Okay. I know everybody was like, oh, she's going for it. I hated Hillbilly Elegy.
And didn't she get a Razzie for it too?
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she's nominated for a Razzie and an Oscar.
Ooh, rare air. Olivia Colman is supposed to be very good in The Father as well. And Maria Bakalova is really like the best thing in the Borat movie.
Yeah.
Like by far, I would say. But I do think it's kind of like people are like, oh, wow, she was in all these situations and stuff. To me, that's kind of a little bit like Leo ate actual whatever goat's liver in The Revenant. And that's why he should win, where it's like, okay, I don't really care about that as much. I know it's a little bit of a different situation, especially with like her, because she was in surrounded by real people, and it takes acting skill as opposed to Leo, who like willingly.
I
put
just
want to
eat shit today. I don't care.
Right? Yeah, he's like, listen, I want to get into this character, or like Christian Bale, like, oh wow, look how good of an actor he is. He lost like 60 pounds. Like, well, is that what made him a good actor in that role, or was it all the other stuff? Like, there's. Just like very other things.
Well, and but that sells, like, you know, Charlize Theron from Monster. She's fucking hot and she's fucking ugly. Fucking give her an award, man. That's crazy.
It's hard.
It's hard to do, man.
Best Supporting Actor, Daniel Kaluuya from Judas and the Black Messiah. Sacha Baron Cohen, Trial of Chicago 7, Leslie Odom Jr. from One Night in Miami, Paul Racy from Sound of Metal.
People are very happy about that.
Paul Racy. And Lakeith Stanfield from Judas and the Black Messiah.
Few things here. Lakeith Stanfield should be best actor.
That, like, why is, who yeah. else is, who is, who did they nominate for, like, leading actor in that?
They didn't, I guess.
Right. So they just had, like, they just decided to have, if you can't have one lead, you just put everybody in supporting. Like, I don't understand.
Maybe they
that.
Thought that was the way to get nominated.
Right.
You know, like, well, we know this is going to be stacked. So let's just nominate him for best supporting. He'll get
it. But like, Lakeith Stanfield is
splitting it.
Pretty obviously the lead.
Yes, he's obviously the lead.
Like,
the movie is about him.
Right. And Daniel Kaluuya has his own storyline
and stuff.
He's very good.
I think he is. Yes, I think they should both be nominated, but Lakeith Stanfield should be best actor.
Right. Agreed.
Who would you replace him with?
In best supporting?
Best actor. Who would you replace Lakeith Stanfield with?
I kick out of the best actor category? Gary Oldman.
Yeah, me too.
Not seeing Anthony Hopkins, but I've heard that he's really great. Good.
Yeah.
In it. And then
Gary Oldman just playing Gary Oldman, kind of.
Right.
I don't know. Like, didn't impress me.
Right. I don't think it's a great. Like, he's witty and gives the lines well and whatever, but it's.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's fine. And then maybe for
Lakeith
best
Stanfield is such a great chameleon actor, too. Like, he kind of just transforms whatever role he plays. Because he's kind of a real, like, son of a bitch in this movie, but he's, like, a real likable guy in a lot of other movies, you know? And he just plays, you know, he's very good at playing different characters. The guy from The Five Bloods.
Right. Delroy Lindo.
Delroy Lindo not nominated, which is a crime.
Which would be, he's probably not best actor, right? That would probably be a supporting role, right?
It would be, I'd give him best supporting.
If you move up Lakeith Stanfield, kick out Gary Oldman, and put Delroy Lindo in best supporting.
Yeah.
There you go. We fixed
it. Should have done that.
We did it.
Why didn't they do
Oscars,
it?
Oscar's so wrong.
Oscar is so wrong.
Daniel Kaluuya is leading in the odds.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty happy that Paul Racy
got
the nomination here, because that's a really good role. And I'm talking up Sound of Metal right now. Watch Sound of Metal.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a really good movie. It's not like as big as a lot of these movies. It's a more personal story, and it's really good. You know,
best adapted screenplay. We have Nomadland, based on a book. The Father, I believe, also based on a book. One Night in Miami, based on a play.
Hey, Adam, that's you.
Borat.
Borat
movie
is
film.
Adopted.
Adapted.
What?
I don't know what I would say that they had to adapt it to real life. Like, the way they did it is interesting. Yeah. I don't know why I would have picked something else. And then something called The White Tiger, which I know nothing about. What is The White Tiger?
It's a movie about crime in feudal Japan. And there is a samurai who has to go over, and he is called the White Tiger.
It is a rich Indian family's ambitious driver uses his wit and cunning to escape from poverty.
Well, that's not it.
That sounds interesting. Maybe I will watch The White Tiger.
Okay.
Best original screenplay. The leader for that was Nomadland, obviously. Best original screenplay, Promising Young Woman, The Trial of Chicago 7, Minari, Sound of Metal, Judas and the Black Messiah. I don't really have any complaints there. I think those are all really good screenplays. Promising Young Woman, if that wins original screenplay, then I think we can officially name Best Original Screenplay the official award of Super Films Cast. What do you think about that?
Wait, what'd you say?
If Promising Young Woman wins Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah.
I believe our favorite movies have more accurately been reflected by Best Original Screenplay than they have by Best Movie. I believe. Let me go back and check this.
Go back in time.
Best Original Screenplay, Oscars. I do... Okay, let's go to 2020s. Okay, last year, Parasite won.
Okay, yeah.
2018, Green Book won. Maybe not. Maybe we're wrong. Get Out the year before.
Okay.
Manchester by the Sea the year before.
That.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You got Birdman, you got Her, you got Spotlight, Django.
Okay.
Midnight in Paris, which I know you love anything Woody Allen does.
Yeah,
either on the page or off. King's Speech.
Hey,
so there you go. I'm just throwing it out there. If we want to claim a category.
Sometimes Lord of the Rings, Return of the King won best. No, actually that was adapted, never mind. We can nominate it.
You also have The Big Sick got nominated in that category. First Reformed, which we were big fans of.
I love First Reformed, yeah.
Was nominated in that category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it tends to have the stuff that we're a little more interested in.
Sure.
I think that that is a pretty good one-to-one for what the best original screenplay, maybe we are more behind than
okay.
the other stuff. Cinematography, do we just want to see Nomadland, Make, News of the World, Judas and Black Messiah, Trial of Chicago 7? Yeah. You care? Anything interesting there?
I mean, you know, I thought Mank was pretty cool how they shot it.
Yeah.
Nomadland's
pretty
cool. One
thing that kind of bugged me, their cigar burns
yeah,
that they
I
had.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And it, they have it like five times or whatever, and they're
yeah.
so like clean. Like
yeah.
they're obviously made with a circle, like a circle tool. Mm-hmm. That bugged me. I have not seen News of the World, but that was up for a ton of technical stuff. So maybe
Hank's Western, yeah.
In that, yeah. Best
no,
costume.
No, First Cow. First Cow, not nominated for anything,
right.
I don't think. I never saw it, but I keep hearing about it. It's about a cow.
Costume design, you got Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Emma, Mank, Mulan, Pinocchio. And I sent you, Trey. Did you know that there was a Pinocchio movie out this year?
I did not know there was a Pinocchio movie out this year.
Oh, spinoff idea, Jiminy Cricket.
Oh.
The Jiminy Cricket solo.
What was he up to before Pinocchio?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
I
need to know.
There's a new Pinocchio like commercial out. What is this? This is terrifying.
I'm a real boy.
I don't remember this at all. It's in Italian, apparently.
Hey, bibbidi bobbidi.
Maybe
hey,
it's in Italian.
I'm a Pinocchio. Where is it? You sending it to me?
Oh, you want me to send you the...
Don't worry about it.
Okay, okay, thanks.
All right, fine, send it.
No, oh, Jesus. No, I left.
All right,
too
don't
late.
Send it. Don't send it.
Editing... Best Film Editing, Sound of Metal, Trail of Chicago 7, Nomadland,
oh, yeah.
The Father, Promising Young Woman.
I do have a question. So they the sound stuff, they combined it.
Combined, yeah. They finally said, you know what? We're sick of everybody making jokes about this.
Yeah.
It's just one thing now.
I'm actually interested in this one. Because,
stop making fun of us.
Sound of Metal. I feel like I'm rooting for that for sound.
Yeah. They do have Soul in there as well.
Yeah.
Which,
oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah. probably is not as much sound. That, mm-hmm. I think, is kind of like a for sure take it to the bank for best score.
Yeah. I can see that. And best animated.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I don't know. Tenants nominated for best visual effects. Is there anything
Let's
else
see,
that
what
you.
Are the visual effects? Makeup. You got Mank for his fat suit.
Right.
Got to. Yeah. You got to get that fat suit, man. Where's
There's
the
a lot of...
Fats?
There's two... Nope, I lied. There's only one anime movie.
Anime is in there? Anime.
Mm-hmm.
I know... I want to know all the anime movies that were nominated for Best Picture.
That were nominated for Best Picture?
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Okay.
Like, I went to all of them.
Well.
Let me know.
Enjoy.
It's below. All right, Adam. Let's see. I think that's probably good for today. We did a lot.
Yeah.
Talked about
Covered
a lot
of
movies.
Things here.
Covered a lot of things. You know. All right, so visual effects, Love and Monsters, Midnight Sky, Mulan. The one and only. I've not heard of these movies. Huh. Interesting. Well, it's been a weird year. I still feel like 2019 was the best year in a long time.
But I feel like we were saying before that other years.
2017.
Were, 2017
was pretty good. Yeah. So I don't know. It
Will
it
we ever
in,
be
like,
satisfied?
Never.
Or will our thirst just... Are we just going to be behind all the time? I do think that 2019 was really good.
Yes. I, you know, this year's. Let's see what happens this year, Adam.
Okay.
Let's just see. Okay. I think we should look. I think we should see.
Well, we're going to get twice as many big blockbuster movies.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go to the theater on a Wednesday.
I'll watch it. You shove it down my freaking throat.
I want
to
shove it down your throat. Great.
There you go.
I was afraid that I wasn't recording for a while, but I am. Good God. That was scary. All right.
Did it.
We're done. Bye.
Bye.
And more next time on Super Films Cast 64.